Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Business Show. We do this show every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. and, of course, at Pacific time, that is. And, of course, if you cannot listen live, as I tell you every week, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com. Just punch in the Gregory Crawford on Sports Business Show. You'll get every single show that we've ever done, which is a lot of them. Of course, this is one of the most popular shows we do in our Blog Talk Radio segment tonight. It's the second Tuesday of the month, and that means that we get a very special visit from Dr. Dan Beeson from the Beeson Wellness Center in beautiful Selwood, Oregon. Good evening, Dr. Dan. How's it going tonight? And once again, we got a huge audience, so I know you love talking health to people.
Well, good evening, Greg. Yeah, it's good to hear from you, and hello to everybody.
Yeah, they love your program, as they let me know. Dan, it's kind of an interesting time of year that I know we've talked a lot about climatic things and how it relates to issues that you deal with your patients, but usually it's about 45, 50 degrees this time of year in our area, but it's up to 70. But are there any hazards that have an unusually warm weather and when it's supposed to be cold, things that people should watch out for? And I know you probably see a lot of patients that kind of get carried away with weather and then they suffer a little bit for it.
Well, you know, weather can affect people, but, you know, if your body's really responding well neurologically, you should adapt to what's going on. But the biggest thing is if you overdressed today, for example, and got too warm and were working and perspired and then got your undergarments damp, you can chill yourself, and then that can cause a reflex and set you up for if you've got a nasty virus or something going around in that environment can set you up for that. So you want to always try to dress where you can layer and keep yourself just at the right temperature. And obviously, if you get a little too cold, you layer up or layer down. And, you know, Oregon's moderate enough that you don't have to have six different pieces of garment to do that. But you don't want to get too warm and perspire and get chilled that way. And then you absolutely don't want to go the other way either. You don't want to get too cold and chill, because either way can cause vasoconstriction. In other words, all the blood vessels in and around your neck can slow down and constrict, and if you have a virus or bacteria in that area, it'll take hold much easier.
Very good. Conversely, we're not that far away in many parts of this country, the northern half of it, definitely where you see a little bit of ice. And I think that, you know, often, you correct me if I'm wrong, you're the expert here, but I think, you know, when you hit some ice, we always think of the broken bones and ankles and wrists and arms and everything, but I would imagine you can really tweak your back out of shape just with a little jerk slipping on ice.
Well, yeah, if we have an icy season coming up, you want to be careful. And obviously use a handrail or support yourself anytime you can. But, you know, if your feet go out from underneath you and they go out front, you land on your buttocks and sacrum, and that can be very injurious to the lumbar spine. And there's some real mechanics right there that can cause the fifth and fourth lumbars to be torn a little bit. I see tons of sciatic nerve patients that vertebra is misplaced, it slides backwards, that kind of injury, it stays that way and it traps the nerve. And so our job as a chiropractic physician is we reposition that vertebra back forward and take the pressure off the nerve. But if I trace down histories on people that present with that, you'll usually find that they had a pretty severe fall. And I'm going to tell you right now, a high percentage of them aren't from ice in Oregon, it's from skateboards and injuries like that.
Very interesting. I see people fall on skateboards all the time, and I'm glad you brought that up. It can be dangerous.
Oh, any of the board sports are very dangerous because your feet go out from underneath you so fast, and you either are landing on your buttocks and putting a tremendous amount of force into the spine, enough to even cause the where the rib cage and the lower back come together, you'll compress vertebra. Vertebra are spongy structures, and they're very light, and they're much like styrofoam. And if you take styrofoam and you push into it hard enough, it crunches and doesn't respond back, and that's what a vertebra will do. So it's common to see a lot of fractures from these kinds of injuries. And, of course, extremities also landing on, you know, I just had a basketball player in, got tripped and fell backwards on a wrist, and fortunately didn't fracture the vertebra, but misaligned it. And as soon as we realigned the carpals, the little wrist bones in there, a smile came back on a player's face, and without a history of fracture, we released him back to ball, playing ball.
Very good. Let's switch gears here totally. We're about to finish a very contentious election period. Not to get political on the program, but let's talk about legislation a little bit, both in the state of Oregon and nationally, that affects chiropractic medicine. And I know you've been very involved in that, being the president of the Oregon Chiropractic Association at times. And what are some issues that are facing chiropractic medicine legislatively that we need to be aware of and watch and be supportive of?
Well, when the Affordable Care Act was put together, we got language in there right at the last moment that said there was supposed to be no discrimination among providers, but the insurance companies have been very slow to read that. I think some of them are coming around and seeing that they should treat all providers equal and fair. In Oregon, and while I was president several years ago, we took that language from the federal law, and it's in the Oregon law, and we were the first state to ever get it in the Oregon law. And so that happens to kind of state that there was a big change at the national level now, and if the Obama plan, the Affordable Care Act, which isn't very affordable for most people anymore, was changed, we still have that language in Oregon. And there's one more state, I believe Vermont put the language in their state law. So we have some language that says we're supposed to be treated equal and fair, but we're still seeing, I had a patient today, she has 12 chiropractic visits and 75 physical therapy visits. Now, we do physiotherapy, so it's kind of a ridiculous thing that the game they're playing, because does that mean I can only treat her chiropractically 12 times and then she gets physiotherapy 75 times if she needed? That's an awful lot of visits. So there's just a lot of inequities going on, and we're working on changing it. And it, as we're speaking tonight, who knows what's going to happen? We probably won't know anything till tomorrow, what direction is going to happen. But we know this, that the deductibles for people, the cost of their first cost out of pocket is jumping. We're seeing $3,000 and $8,000. I just talked to a physician in Texas. They're seeing $16,000 and $20,000 deductibles. So we're affordable. We have ways of putting together plans of payments so people can get the care they need, put it over a little time. We're very effective. I'm going to give you a classic. A 69-year-old female scheduled for hip surgery. They run about $38,000 to $40,000. 1 year in our clinic at the cost of about $1,500 and some nutrition. She's back. She's working. Her hip's doing well. And so we're very affordable in keeping people away from those expensive surgeries. And people are just not aware. They just think they have to turn to surgery every time they have an ache or pain. And unfortunately, that's just happening all too often.
Very interesting. How do you go about effectively making change? Does it have to be done through lobbying? Is it done through patients contacting people? What in your experience, and you've had a great deal of experience both on the legislative side and, of course, without question, on the medical side, but how does change come about that's needed?
Well, we have a full-time paid lobbyist who can represent us in Salem for the Oregon one. And, of course, for the federal level, we have the American Chiropractic Association. And I've been one of the delegates to our American Chiropractic Association for years. So I've been the contact person for our two senators and, you know, our local representative congressman. And, of course, we've got some other doctors of chiropractic helping me with the one in the rural area in Eugene and over the other side of the mountain. But we stay in direct contact. We ask for our doctors of chiropractic to make contributions, which allows them to have a campaign budget so they get elected. And so we are active at the federal level. Federal level is very expensive. At the state level, we're more active. And you have to kind of pick and choose with a small group like us. But we make a lot of friends. People understand that we're here to help people, and it's just a constant battle to stay in touch and communicate and let them know what you do. And at the federal level right now, we have a big petition going on. And I'll just say this for those out there: if they were to go to www.acatoday.org/equality. That's acatoday.org/equality. That'll take an individual to a petition, and it just asks for their name, their email, and their zip code. And they'll be on call for us to put these into Congress. And what we're trying to do is change the scope of coverage for Medicare recipients. And that doesn't mean everybody over 65. It means anybody that's on federal disability. And the coverage is very poor at the federal level for Medicare patients. And so we're working on that, and I'd appreciate anybody listening in the United States can do that. Obviously, I'm doing the drive to get Oregon up and running. So we're working at that federal level, and we'll see what happens after the elections tonight and see what direction we move.
Very good. We're going to switch directions again, and we always get a lot of questions. We really haven't done that much, but we're going to start doing it each month, the second Tuesday of the month, questions from our listeners. And of course, as Dr. Beeson knows, I'll leave the name out to kind of protect the privacy of the person. But we get tons of questions for you. So here we go. We'll go with three questions tonight. First one comes from a female, and this could, I'm sure, apply to a male too, but saying that she's having a lot of discomfort in her forehead. Is that something that's treatable through chiropractic medicine in general? And I guess you get the gist of the question, Dr. Beeson.
Right. Well, discomfort in the forehead, you know, the first thing is it throbby? Is it have to do with pressure? It can be a sinus condition referring. A lot of headaches refer from the neck being very tense and tight. And the occipital nerves, which are the top two sets of nerves coming out of the first and second vertebra, come up over the skull to the front area. Those are the first two things you think of. And then obviously you got to rule out the worst things. It could be internal cranial pressure. But a good examination and visualization and an examination of the eyes and checking for balance and doing a good neurological workup, which we do. We can rule in or rule out or go with what direction and whether imaging needs to be done. But there's a good amount of the frontal areas are referred sinusitis that can be aided with what we do. The cervical, as I said earlier, the cervical vertebra are the area where the nerves come out that innervate or go to that area. And anytime there's a fixation in the neck where the vertebrae aren't moving right, it shuts down the function of the communication of the nervous system, and it shuts down the blood flow. And then you get those kind of decreased blood flow areas, which get it can get painful. So those kind of symptoms, the first thing I do would rule out any neurological diseases and then look for the structure and function. And then the last little thing I'll throw in is the cranial bones all move, so you check for function of the cranial sutures and fixtures to make sure they're moving.
Second question tonight comes from a runner, Dr. Beeson, in regards to, he says, besides quit running, what is the best thing I can do to avoid injury? And I want to try and continue at least running a couple miles a day. And he says, feel free to comment that I shouldn't maybe be doing it.
Well, we're made to run and we're made to walk. And the safest thing is actually walk, and walk very fast if you want a good cardiovascular workout. And if one was to study a little bit, but race walking is a very safe way to get a tremendous workout and still keep your one foot on the ground at all times. That's what makes a race walker different from a runner. There's two kinds of running, folks. There's the heel striker, and then there's the foot or toe striker. And for people who have knee and foot problems, I recommend that they go to a good natural grass field, and they do sprints, and they run on their front foot. So you do sprints, and you've got a lot more cushion. You get off the heel, and you can do a lot of sprinting real fast with a quick break, get your cardiovascular up in between. But for those who just want a good workout, you can't beat just a good old long walk, and particularly with a nice natural grade going uphill. The old study kind of revealed that for those running, that if you graft the stress to the body versus the health benefits cardiovascularly, things kind of cross at about 3 miles. So that's probably the limit you'd want to run. You know, there's folks obviously doing these very long runs, but they can be stressful to joints, and you want to make sure they're in good cardiovascular health before you do that.
Very good. Our last question tonight comes from a 14-year-old. I love questions like this. Wants to be a chiropractor and wants to know I'm in my freshman year of high school, what courses maybe should I take in high school that'll prepare me better as I move on in my education? And I know you'll have a good answer for that, but I'm going to interject myself here just for 1 second and say, definitely learn how to write properly and spell properly. That's critical in any field today, but go ahead and talk about more specific classes that a person could take.
Well, yeah, well, you just kind of stole what I was going to kind of start with, but as soon as you've got to be able to communicate and write, but then you want to really move in the direction of the science, and that would be good chemistry, physics, the biology, botany, anything that your high schools offer. And then you're going to go into, there's some great pre-med programs. My daughter, who went to the University of Oregon, took human physiology, and that was her degree, and that really sets you up for your pre-med. It's everything required to go into the graduate schools, and whether it's medical, osteopathy, or chiropractic. And we have a 13-year-old from a private school right now. He'll be in my clinic tomorrow morning for 3 hours. He does a room-to-room with me, and almost every patient allows him to come in and be part of the history-taking and part of the therapeutic side of things. So you got to have great sciences, be able to handle science. And math can be a little on the weaker side, but there's programs really set up for that.
Very good. Great questions, and we'll do that every show that we have Dr. Beeson on. And before we get to the end of the program here, I've got a couple more questions, but I definitely want you to tell everybody where your office is and kind of go through the brief scenario of how you handle first-time patients and all that other good stuff that goes along with going to the doctor. which is a
okay.
great experience when they go and see you, because you got a beautiful office, a great staff, and you're so kind.
Oh, thank you, bud. So we're in what is known as Selwood, Oregon. We sit on 13th Avenue and overlook the Oaks Bottom, and out my back windows I see Oaks Park. So that kind of gives people a geographic address, 7215 Southeast 13th Avenue. Our phone number for 43 years has been 503-238-7025. And we take appointments. We can take a walk-in emergency. We do once in a while. Got one last Friday night just as I was getting ready to leave. But we'll get you scheduled in for a probably about an hour to an hour and a half on your first visit, because there's a written history to be taken. So we give you the forms to take out. I hate to say it, but the paperwork's really increased. There's all kinds of forms the government's put together for protection in health care. But we get you through that, and as soon as all the paperwork's done, we have a staff checking on the coverage of insurance, and it is a little bit of a nightmare these days, because every insurance plan, you can have people at the same job and have a different insurance plan from that same business. It's unbelievable. But we try to find out what the coverage is, and we try to even do that earlier. And then as soon as the patient's prepared for me, we're going to sit down one-on-one and go through a history of the past to the present and what their needs and wants are for having either symptoms or structural things changed. And then we go through an exam. Our history gives us about 80% of the direction we move with our exam. And our exam is to rule in and rule out the things that we need to do. Structurally, with any joint or the spine, I pretty much x-ray those tissues, because I want to see the quality and quantity and the position. And sometimes we even take a bending moment where we have the neck go through various motions so we can see for sure what joints are not moving right. I should just add in that, you know, the simple 101 on chiropractic is, if every joint in the body was working and going through its normal motion, sliding, gliding, whatever it does, you wouldn't need a chiropractor. The joints get stuck, they get locked up, they get misaligned from traumas, falls, poor posture, stress, adding to all of that. And my job is to find out what joints don't move and what joints move too much, because that'll happen. You'll get joints not moving and some have to make up for it. And so we want to correct the ones that are in a state of fixation, they're not moving. And as that happens, the muscles begin to work. Now, the longer someone's had a problem, the more we have the muscles in spasm, and they've gone into a shortening and a chronic stage of fibrosis, which is scar tissue. So we have LMTs on hand to help us undo that. We have an acupuncturist on hand to help break those scar tissues up. And we have a rehab center so we can. And then we've added recently a very good naturopathic physician. So we have on our staff a full health accompaniment, and even for emergencies, medication through his prescription rights, and trigger point injections and acupuncture.
Very good. We've got about 3 minutes left, and I just had a question text to me. And I think it's so good, I want to ask you about it. Is there any issue with a person's health if you yawn a lot? And that's, you know, we'll probably get a little chuckles about that, but that's a very good question, I think.
Yawning can be a oxygen deficiency. So the first thing you want to do is, you know, you just do a quick oxygen pulsometer check and see if oxygen's up. And then there can be a situation with the rate of breathing, the diaphragm. So that needs to be checked out. That's not a normal thing to do that a lot. And obviously fatigue, the first thing comes to mind, the thyroid, get that tested and see where you are with that. you can also do some cardiovascular to see if that's involved.
Very good. That is a great question. Great job tonight. We covered a lot of subjects. We'll look forward to talking to you again, Dr. Beeson, on the second Tuesday of the month of December. And I know we'll have a ton of questions for you. We had over 75, and I had to pick three of them tonight, so I apologize to everybody. But we'll keep it going, and we got a big listenership, and people love you on this program. And I hope everybody will tell everyone about it, because it's so informative, and there's nothing like having good health. Good night, Dr. Beeson. Good night, listeners. And don't forget to make all your free throws.
Yes. Good night, Greg, and good night to everybody.
You betcha, and thanks for a great program.
You're welcome.